Hare Krishna. When I see you, it seems to me that you can also understand my English. Am I correct? I see, and you have announced that already. Good, they know. Fine. Yes, before I start, I want to say what a wonderful time we had together. And wonderful time means that we felt we were moving closer to Krishna. If devotees can be together in a way that Krishna is more feelable, more close, then this is a memorable time. To create such a time when you are close to Krishna is maybe the most important project in our lives. Because that is something which remains. It goes with you even when you leave everything in this world behind. I would like to address this afternoon something about bhakti. From where can we get bhakti? What is bhakti doing for us? Like that. So please allow me, I will sing first with the Go Krishna Bhajan band. Hare Krishna. One moment, this is an internal discussion. In our tradition, there are various prayers which are called Virudhavali prayers. They are calling out to Krishna. So I want to sing a very nice bhajan where we call out for Krishna. It's not such a complicated text as these prayers, but it is something very nice. It is He Govinda, He Gopal, Keshava Madhava Dina Dayal. Dina Dayal means he who is merciful to those who are fallen into this world. Then it goes Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal. And then Syama Sundar, have to remember, Syama Sundar, Syama Sundar, Kanaya Lal. Kanaya is the name of Krishna, which his mother uses. It's like my darling little boy, Kanaya Lal. Giri Vara Dhari. Nanda Dulal, Prabhu Nanda Dulal, Nanda Dulal, Prabhu Nanda Dulal, Nanda Dulal, Prabhu Nanda Dulal. Nanda Dulal, Prabhu Nanda Dulal. Nanda Dulal is a name of Krishna, which means the darling son of Nanda Maharaj. We have one very nice devotee contact in Nandagram, where there is this original temple. It's called Nanda Bhavan, the house of Krishna's father Nanda. And the people who go every morning up the steps, when they come into this temple, they don't pray that Krishna fulfills their desires. No, no. That's Maya. They pray that, oh Krishna, may you be protected. May you have a wonderful day today. One of the priests, I just heard, he was lying for 1 year in his bed, slowly dying. So one morning he surprised everyone. He went up the staircase of his house, and there on the balcony looked towards the temple of Nanda Bhavan, and when he saw the flag, he said, Nanda Dulal Ki Jai. Then remember, he's lying 1 year in bed, he cannot walk. Then he walks down the stair, lies in bed, and dies with a smile. These are those who are loving Krishna. They get the energy to rise from the dead, go just for an important talk up the roof of the house, greet the flag under which their Lord is, and then shout Nanda Dulal Ki Jai, and then they go back because they have an important journey now to do. And they leave the body and go back to Krishna. Wonderful. So it's very, very wonderful prayer. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal, Keshava Madhava Dinadaya. Keshava Madhava Dinadaya.
Dinadaya.
Kalpa really looks today like the deities seem to come from an out of an ocean of light, isn't it? But it looks so bright and so wonderful, wonderful. It's very interesting to note what happens when we take darshan. Yes, our eyes see definitely on the altar the different colors of the new dresses, these amazing crowns and the halos around. But for a devotee, he sees much more than what the eyes can tell him or teach him. He thinks, here's my Lord, here I'm sheltered and protected. When I come here, I am for a moment not in this world, but I'm in the spiritual world. Why does he feel like this? And why does another person who comes as a visitor not feel like this? I could give another example. When devotee sings with other devotees kirtans, much more than an appreciation of the melody happens. As he sings, he feels Krishna is very close by. Why does he feel like this, and why does another person say, it's always the same melody. Can't you sing a good Led Zeppelin song or something more interesting, maybe a classic song? But the devotee would say, no, when we do kirtan, there's a different effect in our heart than if we hear interesting and verified music. Why does a devotee feel like this? Why does a newcomer not feel it? Why the different reactions? And the answer is that when a devotee sees the deities, and when a devotee sits in the kirtan and sings, there is an element with him that makes him see and hear things different. That element is the element of bhakti, or devotion, or sometimes which manifests in an inclination to serve Krishna. This element of bhakti is almost like, you can say, like glasses which help one to see what one cannot see without glasses. This bhakti makes one understand Krishna. And those whose eyes are smeared or covered with bhakti, they see actually Krishna. Those whose ears are with bhakti, they can hear Krishna when they chant. But without bhakti, it is not possible to see Krishna. To give a mundane example, when a mother has love for her children, she can see in her children something which a person without love cannot see. So in the same way, when a person has bhakti for Krishna, then it is possible for him to act in a total different way, to see in a total different way, because bhakti helps him to see. I would like to talk about this a little bit, but I first need to ask Gaur Govinda to bring something which I have forgotten. It is confidential. Otherwise, it's in the rain. There is one great saint. His name is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is teaching really bhakti all over the world. Once he came to the Lord and he asked, who's the greatest devotee? And he thought Krishna would answer, you are the greatest devotee. You are the incarnation of bhakti. You are always with each breath singing my names, Om Namo Narayanaya. You are certainly my greatest devotee. But Krishna answered in an unexpected way. He said, there is one farmer in one part of India, forgotten part. I consider him my greatest devotee. Oh, said Narada Muni, I don't even know him. I know all the great devotees, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. He didn't say it, but he felt, I know a little bit myself also. but he was curious to know, why is this farmer who's tilling the fields and who's taking care of his oxen and the cows, why is he the greatest devotee? Now Krishna gave a very, very interesting answer. He said, before I answer you your question, I have a test for you. I request you to take this bowl of oil. Krishna reached behind him and gave a very full bowl of oil to Narada Muni. I request you to go around the world and not spill even one drop. Now it was very full, the bowl. It was, I don't know what oil. Was it olive oil or sandalwood oil? I cannot tell you. It was really like, really full. So for Narada Muni to travel by the airways one way around the earth is nothing. It is very simple. Here he goes by his mystical powers as far as thought. But now he had this bowl and he was asked to not spill even one drop. He went very carefully like, like this. Thank you very much. So he came back to Narada, to Krishna, and said, here, little drop spilled, almost nothing. Here. Krishna said, very good. I have a question. How often did you think of me and how often did you chant my holy names? I was thinking of the oil, you know, and you know, and I was thinking of the oil. That was the test, no? Krishna said, now let us go to the farmer. And he took Narada Muni and brought him to the field where the farmer was tilling with his oxen the field. Do you know what it means to till a field? To plow a field, right? Then the farmer was chanting, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal. Then he started to cry. Keshava Madhava Dinadayan. He was very wrong with his melody, but he was certainly moved. And then he arrange something else, and he took care of the cows. And then he was at the house, and he cooked some milk for his little boy, and gave him milk. He was really busy in many activities, and he was always singing the holy name. Narada Muni was amazed. I mean, I was balancing a bowl of oil, but he has to balance the oxen and the fields and the milk and the boy and the this and the that. And he did understand something about bhakti which he had not understood. Bhakti is so wonderful that you can be engaged in ordinary activities, but the activities will not distract you if your heart is lit with a flame that is the flame of love. It's so strong that everything is secondary and everything else is primary. This is the beauty of bhakti, and this is what we all have to learn. We should not just sing when it's time to kirtan and Nimai and Gokrishna are here, and the melodies are beautiful, the rhythms are all right, and the boys look really so fresh from the spiritual world, and so on. And then we sing. No, the idea of bhakti is to carry this into the normal life and do it even when you are at home and wherever you are. Bhakti means to glorify Krishna even while you are engaged in ordinary so-called worldly activities. And that constant absorption in Krishna is so powerful that Krishna himself will come and sit in the heart of the bhakta. He is there. And I think some of you who are now longer in bhakti know this. They can do the ordinary activities, write letters, wash the plates in the household, and just stay in a space where they feel Krishna's presence. I really want to tell you, this bhakti is something internal. It's something which happens in the heart. Now, Narada Muni is explaining, I mean, nevertheless, he's the great teacher of bhakti. He has written one very nice book, which I recommend all of you to read eventually. It is the Narada Bhakti Sutras. In this work, he, in very short sentences, explains the secret of bhakti. And he puts a question: when is Krishna or God really appearing in the heart? At which time? Which conditions need to be fulfilled? Is this question of interest to you? It is. Yeah. Why? You always laugh when I ask why, isn't it? It's good to ask. We also want to experience this. We want to experience God. That's a good reason. He says, in their hymns, great teachers have described how bhakti can be attained. And then he offers a four-step program how you can have this appearance of bhakti and with it Krishna in your heart. The first thing he says is, give up objects of sense gratification and material association. And the second, this is a negative path, you know, to give up ordinary material life and ordinary material association. And the second is, one should, which is positive, one should worship Krishna ceaselessly. Ceaselessly means without stop. Now, these two instructions, giving up sense gratification and material association and worshipping Krishna all the time, they are quite subtle. It's maybe different than what you think they are. You can give up material sense gratification while you live in a palace. And you can give up material association even while you walk through Ljubljana. And you can worship the Lord ceaselessly, it means without stoppage, while you go through your ordinary life. And an example is given of this. The example of a great king who lived in a palace. This great king was once visited by a renunciant, a sadhu, and the sadhu was welcomed by the king and lived in the guest quarters of his palace. He never said thank you. He always looked quite upset whenever he met the king during this time. And one day the king said, you seem to not be happy here. Am I doing something wrong in our relationship? And the sadhu said, you cannot become Krishna conscious when you are surrounded with so much opulence.
King
took the only blanket which was covering the sadhu. He took it, he ran to the fireplace and he batted it, threw it, Hare Krishna, into the fire. Then he went back to the throne and looked at his guest. The sadhu said, what came over you? It's my only blanket. I don't have a second blanket. And you have taken it and thrown it in the fire. It's the roaring fire. Yes, said the king. You said, I cannot become Krishna consciousness in the palace, and I'm saying you cannot become Krishna consciousness in your blanket. Look how attached you are to your blanket. It's a small little blanket of no value, it's old. I give you exactly 2,000 blankets for this in return. But I live in this palace and I could move away any moment from this palace. In fact, I'm just preparing my son to take over because I want to go into the forest and worship Krishna without interruption. So, you stay one more week. And the sadhu felt, he stayed. And after 1 week he looked for the king and the king was gone. He had gone to the wilderness. He had renounced everything because he wanted to be more, he wanted to have more time with Krishna. And if you have to manage a kingdom, wow, that's a lot of management. So, yes, giving up material sense gratification and material association is not something which you have to do externally. You have to do it internally. And worshipping the Lord is not something which you might have to do externally all the time, but if you do it in your heart, wherever you are, then the result will be that you will not be encumbered, or how do you say, you will not have an obstacle in your life, even if you are surrounded by karma, by your karma, with a situation. I know some of you are working and you think, oh no, we are working, we want to live in the temple. And those who live in the temple, they think, oh no, we live in the temple, we want to work and earn our own money. You know, it's not about these things, working or not working, owning something or not owning something. It's about a state of the mind where you have Krishna in your mind. And think not so much about yourself, but think regularly about Krishna. Be with Krishna regularly. So Narada Muni then goes on to say that this third cause of developing bhakti. What were the first two again? Renouncing material sense gratification and materialistic association. Yes, very nice. And then, second, worship Nasi Draghi Gospodin without stop, no? Non-stop, yes. Good. There's a third cause, and I would like to draw your attention to this third cause. It's by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's Lord, even while you are engaged in your ordinary material activities. This is the third cause of developing your bhakti. Even when you, and I want to really say that this is something which I really wish to bring to your attention. I've been living outside of the temple while I was here. The devotees have given me one room and Gokrishna has gotten another room. Maybe Gopal, he worships the deity regularly, so Gopal's other room. And when the devotee, when our hosts brought us to our little apartment and brought us back, they always had music in their cars. I don't know if they had this because we were there, but I suspect they have it always. And I liked it very much. We were driving to Ljubljana and there was the kirtan singer Achyuta Gopi one time was singing a very loud voice. I know when she sings, her mouth is open from the bottom of the floor to the ceiling. So loud. Ooh. You see only the red mouth inside. And we were singing along with the tape in the car. That is a way how to obtain bhakti. So just while you do your ordinary activities like driving through Ljubljana, hearing kirtan and singing along. When you are in Bengal, I like to tell this little story from Bengal always, you will often find people with their fishing rods. They sit next to the river and so on. And what they do is, they throw some fish food around the fishing rod and put something on the hook, and then they wait, and then the fish becomes attracted to the strong smell of the fish food, and then he sees that hook and he bites. So then he feels, oh no, I'm captured. And the first reaction is he panics and he runs away or swims away. So the fisherman will not try to bring him in, but he will let the line get loose and he will let the fish have its way. But eventually, slowly, 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 he pulls the fish in and brings him home to his aquarium or wherever. Let's give a decent example. So Krishna is like this. He throws kirtan in this world, and he throws Krishna Katha in the world, and we become attracted. Wow, let's go to Ljubljana. Let's join the kirtan living name retreat. Let's come to the Sunday feast. We become attracted. And then after this, we run around in our ordinary life like the fish. Chululu, we go back to Zagreb and we do Zagreb activities. or we go back to wherever we come from and we do wherever we come from activities there. And Krishna allows us the freedom of choice. Okay, someone wants to become a doctor. Okay, someone wants to become a pop star. Okay, someone wants to cook a nice pizza. I can't give such good examples at the moment. Krishna allows. Someone wants to marry. Yes, why not? Someone wants to divorce. In other words, the ordinary activities which we human beings do go on, and Krishna allows that. It's like the fisherman allows the fish to go here and there and everywhere. But as we hear kirtan more and more, Krishna waits until we become materially exhausted. We understand this doesn't bring us so much happiness. I mean, I'm not speaking about pizza, against pizzas, against the things which we do in the world, not at all. Krishna allows us to do all the things, but more and more we feel, oh, he pulls my heart to him, and more and more we increase in our bhakti. This is what Krishna does. Krishna is also sending his devotees into the world who speak about him and his glories. And I want to, can I speak a little bit about Krishna to you, or is it, yeah, good, I thought so. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna is very good because it ends our material life. We are pulled in. I remember when I came the first time to the temple, I was just so shy because these devotees were they were different. I remember I was not shy in my material life. I would do everything and more as a little boy. But when I was with the devotees, I felt this is a different energy, buddhi different, you know, be different now. And I remember I was very shy. I did not dare to speak many things. I just listened and I looked everywhere, and everything smelled different. I've never smelled such a smell like this before. Everything looked different. I remember there was a devotee, the devotees had this bag with japa mala. So I was thinking everyone of them has such a bag, you know, and it must be very, what do they carry in the bag? Is it a passport, or is it maybe some important medicine. Maybe they have all a certain medical condition here and they require. And then I asked one day, and the devotee showed, no, we have our life connection, it's our umbilical cord to Krishna. Ah. And then I saw the second time I came, and then other devotees came with me up the stairs, they came to the temple, and when they met, they went on the floor, and I thought, to pay their obeisances, but I could not understand. I thought they had lost something important. So I immediately went on my knees and tried to look. Maybe it's a jewel or a diamond. Or it seems to be very important. I mean, to go down on the knees and go with their eyes to the floor. It must be most important and most valuable. So I was like this. And after some time I understood, no, it's just different. That's how they greet each other. Okay. I do remember my first visits were like this. But what I so much appreciated was a positive atmosphere with so much, I couldn't name it at that time, but I understood this is spirituality. And later I understood this was because this is a temple, Krishna was worshipped, and there was a lot of talking about Krishna. And this talking about Krishna, it helps that our material existence becomes less and less and less. And we are more and more brought to Krishna, like that fish. So I want to talk a little bit about Krishna today in relationship to material existence. We sing every morning the song Sangsara Dhavana Dalida Loka. By the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, the fire of material existence is brought out. Now, in Krishna's pastimes, he showed how he was ending the fire in which his best friends were trapped. See, Krishna with the cowherd boys went every morning to a huge banyan tree in Vrindavan and played under the banyan trees. And sometimes they took one of the air roots. Yes, banyan trees have roots which come from the branches and go down, and they grabbed the air roots and they were swinging back and forth. And as they were playing different games, including wrestling and hide and seek, all of a sudden one boy rose an alarmed voice. He said, the cows have wandered off. They are gone. We were so much playing that we didn't see how the cows left us. And all the, for the cowherd boys, the cows are their very life and soul. When they therefore realized that they had lost their only livelihood, they informed Krishna. Krishna said, yes, we played so much that we were absorbed in our swinging and wrestling that they're gone. But wait a minute. And Krishna, you know, he's at the same time totally absorbed in his pastime, but he also has this Shakti by which he can know everything and everyone. So he realized that the cows had gone to the banks of the Yamuna River and they had got stuck, or they had got lost in the high reeds which were there. And Krishna wanting to alleviate the suffering of the cows who were stuck there, and his cowherd boys climbed a high branch of the bandira tree and called out the names of his cows. And while he called out, he took his yellow cloth and he waved it back and forth so that the cows could see the yellow cloth of him, and they were immediately responding by calling back with their cow sound, moo moo, and these things. No, now you must know, at that time Vrindavan was filled with spies of Kamsa, who reported to King Kamsa all the activities which Krishna did. You know, King Kamsa was the arch enemy of Krishna and wanted his death like anything. For that purpose he had sent many demons, but the demons all were annihilated by Krishna. I remember once when Kamsa had sent off this demon who took on the form of a huge horse, he was nervously pacing back and forth in his palace, waiting for news from his spies. What happened with Keshi the horse demon? So as he was thinking like this and waiting for his spies to tell him, hopefully, that Keshi had trampled Krishna to death like he had promised, he was just walking, and all of a sudden he saw there was a dark cloud for a moment, and the next moment he noticed, he thought a cloud has gone before the sun. The next moment the huge body of Keshi landed, bang, right in the court of the palace, because Krishna had just confronted Keshi and shown him his amazing potency and had killed him and thrown him. So Kamsa had many other demon friends who were, do you know the word shapeshifter? Are some of you practicing magic? Then you know how to do it, no? You don't know so many things. But there is an art to change the form. I also don't know how. I know how the formulas, but not how to do it. I've never done it. I was interested in these things before I became a spiritualist, but it's a high art. So many demons had come, taken animal forms or the forms of natural cyclones like Trinavata to kill Krishna. But Krishna saw through their disguise. You can never cheat Krishna, even if you disguise yourself. There were demons who went amongst Krishna's friends to pretend they were friends of Krishna, and then waiting for their opportunity. So Kamsa knew there was this boy had amazing potencies. So he had sent his, when he heard from his spies that Krishna had been missing his cows, that they were lost in the reeds, he sent some men to set fire to the reeds to burn the cows alive and give Krishna pain in the heart. Soon the fire blazed so high that the sparks jumped everywhere. It looked much more dangerous than the terrible forest fire in Split, which happened 2 years ago, I think. It was really amazing. There was a sizzling sound everywhere, and the boys felt extremely worried. They called out to Krishna, 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 Mahavir Ya, He Rama Moga Vikrama, davagnina dayamanam prapanang stratum ahata. O Krishna, O Krishna, you are the most powerful one. O Rama, you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by the forest fire and have come to take shelter of you. So Krishna saw from the high branch of the tree that his cows trapped in this forest fire. And he wanted to save them. There was no time to run to the Yamuna and somehow, you know, bring the Yamuna water with buckets or so over the fire and extinguish the fire. No, Krishna needed to act very fast. And he got an idea that I will swallow this fire. But the next moment he thought, "But if my friends see that I swallow from the distance this dangerous fire, they will all faint and some of them might never wake up again. That they will be so much worried for me." So he said to his boyfriends, I will do something small, but you please close your eyes." And the friends knew Krishna might make one of his magical tricks. You know, when some magician asks you, "Close your eyes," you will say to not spoil the whole show, "Okay," and you will close the eyes. Maybe you will look between the fingers, but you will at least pretend to close the eyes. So all his little coward boyfriends were closing the eyes. And then Krishna produced a huge body like a rain cloud, you know, full of water. And he sucked in this tremendous fire and absorbed it in himself and closed it. And the moment he did this, he also moved all his cowherd boyfriends and all the cows away from the area of danger. But by his tremendous Shakti, he brought them to a safe, green place with a lot of fruits to eat and enjoy. I like this pastime very much because it gives hope that Krishna can also take the fire in which we are, the fire of our material desires, and the unlimited complications which come because we turn away from Krishna and forget him. He can take this away. If we just come together and do this, hear about Krishna, chant about his names. I know in our movement we like to chant about the holy name. When we talk about Krishna, this is new for us and we become slightly irritated. But it is not a problem. It will go after some time. It will conveniently go. Because hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's name and qualities, even while you are engaged in your ordinary activities, it will take away the fire which burns in you. All of you are under fire. It's a question of time when the fire has burned you up. It's the fire of desires which you follow while you are running through this world. When this fire can come down, when the heat of the material desires goes down, then you are safe. And hearing about Krishna, hearing about his name, replaces this fire with vibrant spiritual energy, with vibrant spiritual realizations. So these are three ways in which we can obtain bhakti: giving up material sense objects and material association, worshipping Krishna non-stop. Please remember the case of the king, but also hearing about Krishna and his activities, not just his name, that's one thing of hearing about Krishna, but his activities, also very important. We have to get used to this as much as we got used to Kirtan. We can do it. It is not a problem for us. But the main reason how you will obtain bhakti in your heart is not by your own endeavor. It's not in your hand. Bhakti cannot be created by you, not even by following any type of process. The main reason for obtaining bhakti is by either the mercy of great devotees or by a drop. Drop. How do we say drop in the local language? Yes, kapitsa. Yes. Or something. By a drop of Krishna's mercy. Never forget, bhakti is not something mechanical, which you can obtain by paying a price. It is absolutely in the hands of the bhaktas, and it is absolutely in the hands of the Lord. Therefore, we always require the mercy. And Krishna is inclined to give his mercy by those who seek the association of his dear devotees and who hear about him and chant his glories in the association of devotees. And Krishna makes a, okay, everyone who is there, let them get some bhakti shakti, some bhakti energy. This is the causes of bhakti, and I never tire to say, let us always keep our connection to the great devotees. Like I have now this machine, this red machine, a small machine like this. There are all the lectures of Prabhupada in, and I'm hearing them every day, and I become very inspired in Krishna consciousness. Something totally new. This contact with a pure devotee and just being in his contact, in the contact of devotees, you somehow download bhakti in that association. Even unconsciously, it's like downloading in the night when you download from one computer to the other computer. You are asleep, but it goes on. Staying in the association of devotees, especially in doing devotional activities, helps you to download Krishna bhakti. I wish that all of your hearts become full with the bhakti shakti, and that all that whatever darkness and shadows are still looming in the heart, that they will go by the influence of the bhakti shakti, because then you're truly happy, then you're truly fulfilled, and most important, my dear devotees, you will, and guests, you will realize in your life, I'm no longer alone. I'm in best company. Krishna's in my heart. Yeah. So I have said what I wanted to say. I also wanted to talk a little bit about Krishna. Those who know me by now know when you invite me it's dangerous, because I always want to invite a talk about Krishna. I feel otherwise, what is the use of it? If we don't talk about our Lord, we must hear about how he thinks, how what he thinks, how he looks, his mind, his amazing activities, and that will build up our faith. I want to now look at the clock. Oops, we are not too late. I want to see if maybe you have some questions. Last last minute questions before we all say goodbye. Some child is also here. Ah, yeah. Hare Krishna. Maladitsas. They always live in another world. I think that is what we can learn from the children, to live in another world. Any questions which you have? No, at this moment everything is clear. Good. I wish you really that you can develop bhakti in your heart and give your life the necessary, let me, bhakti shakti or power, which will carry you through your busy lives and which will keep you also in Krishna consciousness by the power of a higher attraction. Good? Dobro. Good. Then what do we do now? Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I think you clap because now it's over and you can eat prasadam. Haribo.